Now, a lot has happened, and particularly in the last week. We have been getting, of course, many reports from Washington in particular, and the tremendous all-Ireland presence that was very well received, and indeed many a deal has been done, and the atmosphere is just right for that as well.
Well, I think the series of meetings held in Washington across the St. Patrick's Week, I think, were very successful. There was a very big delegation from Northern Ireland. Many of Northern Ireland's elected representatives were there. Banging the drum for Northern Ireland is a great place for US companies to invest in and Americans to come and visit, but also talking about the hard work that needs to be done to deal with the challenges that face Northern Ireland, one of which is economic recovery, rebalancing the economy, promoting jobs and private sector growth, but the other of which is dealing with the sectarian divisions that still persist in parts of Northern Ireland and trying to tackle divisive issues like flags and parades in the past, work which was looked at by the distinguished diplomat Richard Haass, and on which it hasn't yet been possible to get an agreement between Northern Ireland's political leadership, but I think there's a genuine willingness to keep working at this many years. But I mean, one of the advantages that Northern Ireland has now is the greatly improved relationship between the UK and Ireland. You know, relations between London and Dublin have, you know, arguably never been better. We had the Taoiseach, before he came over to Washington, was in London for his annual summit with Prime Minister David Cameron.
Right.
That was very successful. Our two countries are cooperating on all sorts of issues like joint visas and economic cooperation, running joint trade missions to promote our respective businesses, and also we're looking forward to what we hope will be a fantastic state visit by the President of Ireland to London in just a few weeks' time. The first time ever that there's been a formal state visit by an Irish president, and that will be a great opportunity to celebrate how close and strong and friendly the relationships between Britain and Ireland now are.
But returning to my initial observation of what we're hearing back is that it is indicative of a very different atmosphere to see Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland, you know, again competing and attracting, that it's not singularly Southern Ireland or Northern Ireland. That actually inward investment into the island of Ireland is doing very well.
I think so, and actually recognising that whilst in some ways we compete, but in other ways working together between North and South can benefit both sides. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Taoiseach and the Prime Minister authorised the first ever joint trade mission between the UK and the Republic of Ireland to the Singapore Air Show. And Northern Ireland has a hugely successful aerospace sector. And I think it makes a lot of sense to work together on these matters, because actually much of the rest of the world does sort of view you know, the UK and Ireland as a very integrated market, and so are working together to attract, to sort of promote up business and commercial links with places like the Far East, I think can be very successful for both economies. You know, sometimes though, the UK government has done all it possibly can to continue to fund Northern Ireland appropriately, and public spending levels there remain significantly higher than the UK average. We, like every other developed country in the world, are dealing with austerity, and that has meant some difficult decisions. There is, again, a long-running debate about welfare reform. We've introduced that in England, Wales and Scotland.
Yeah.
It's not as yet been introduced in Northern Ireland, and I hope that Northern Ireland will eventually follow on, because I think our welfare reforms are fair to the people who are in need of support, but also fair to the taxpayers who fund it. But it's you know, part of my role is to try and find a way to reach agreement between the devolved government and the national one.
Those who would who listened to New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli a couple of weeks back he was oozing with enthusiasm that finally the path, not only was the path clear, but the money is in the bank. The New York State pension funds. And as he pointed out, the frustration that many felt towards Tom DiNapoli was money, pension money, invested, can't be done, you know, because it can't be done to help the peace process. It can't be done for any specific reason bigger than good return, good solid investment. That has to send a great signal to others who might be saying, well, let's see now, who's betting, you know, their money on investment. But if you get some pension funds and if you get New York State in there, that has to give a signal to many others who may be in no rush to do so.
Well, it's great news from Tom DiNapoli. I actually had the chance to meet him last time I was in New York, and we talked about the plans he was trying to get off the ground for investment in Northern Ireland. And it's fantastic news that it is. As you say, if you're running a pension fund, you have to look at the return, you have to look at commercial factors. You can't be driven by, you know, sentimentality and a wish to support a particular part of the world. But I really strongly feel with this decision, it's great for Northern Ireland because of our investment, but also it'll be great for the pension fund as well, because, you know, Northern Ireland has such great success stories in terms of the businesses that have come to invest there. We had a big investment conference in September, following on from the G8, and the biggest, you know, the strongest, the people who are arguing the case most strongly for inward investment were companies that had already come and set up in Northern Ireland. And the chief executive of Allstate estimated that his company had saved $1 billion through the work that they had done in Northern Ireland. So I hope that Tom DiNapoli's decision, as you say, is something that sends a signal to pension funds around the rest of the US that Northern Ireland's a great place to do business. And, well, that's one of the reasons why David Cameron decided he was going to invite the G8 leaders to County Fermanagh, because he wanted to show off Northern Ireland. Because I think for many people they're sort of, if they're aware of Northern Ireland at all, perhaps they associate it with its troubled past, and they've got no idea of how stable it is now, but also no idea of its sheer scenic beauty. And I think those images that went around the world will have had a big impact, seeing President Obama and President Putin against the backdrop of sunny Lakeland Fermanagh, I think was something which will start that process. We value the support and interest that the United States gives to the island of Ireland, north and south. Of course, US politicians and leading figures played a critically important role in Northern Ireland's peace process, and they continue to encourage further progress in Northern Ireland. Both Vice President Biden and President Obama talked about the need to press ahead on flags and parades in the past. That message came across very clearly. So that kind of political support from the US is much valued. And as we've been discussing, US economic links are crucially important. That's actually one of the reasons why the negotiations on TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, which could see, you know, a boost to trade between the US and Europe, that could be very positive for Northern Ireland and for the Republic of Ireland, and give them the opportunity to trade more with the United States.
A contentious issue, obviously, with the White House, with the political establishment here, with the Republicans in particular, and the ongoing, battle, which indeed Irish groups are particularly patient and moving forward with the issue of immigration. And there are a tremendous number of people from Northern Ireland who, like in Southern Ireland, have been caught in this trap. here in the United States. Sometimes it appears that representatives from Northern Ireland don't place the same level of emphasis than those from Southern Ireland, but we are hearing, quite frankly, that is changing as well. It's not two separate groups. Again, somebody who was forced or somebody who left Ireland and is now living as resident in the United States, it really doesn't make a difference whether they're from Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, Catholic, Protestant, you know, Unionist, Nationalist. That person definitely needs attention and help. And from what we hear, there was a lot of positivity on that level here on this trip as well.
Well, it was certainly very much the big issue at the speaker's lunch, where the Taoiseach made a very powerful pitch for reform of immigration rules to deal with people who are undocumented. I'm sure that is a debate which will run and run. I know that obviously the differences of view between the President and Congress on this probably do make change hard to bring about, but
right.
It was certainly placed very clearly at the top of his agenda by Enda Kenny in his couple of his speeches over the last few days.
And I also feel that, as I say, anybody who is undocumented is definitely in need of support, and there seemed to be quite a bit of support in Washington this time. You know, with Peter Robinson, Martin McGuinness, you know, the talk was more free and more central. I don't think anybody wanted to claim, you know, the Pied Piper role in it. It is something that affects everybody, as I say.
Well, certainly, as you say, it affects young people from Northern Ireland as well as from the Republic of Ireland.
I thank you for being with us, and of course, happy St. Patrick's season.
The happy St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's season to you too.
And again, obviously to yourself, it's great having you, and having you at this time in particular. And friends, my guest, the Right Honourable Teresa Villiers, Member of Parliament and the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. And you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.